This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one out of nine babies in the United States is born prematurely. As a result, some grow up with serious health issues while others' development is affected. Researchers at the University of South Florida have received a five-year, $2.7 million grant from the National Institute of Health to look closely at what's inside premature babies, inside their gut to be precise, to see what effect bacteria have on their growth and development. USF College of Nursing professor Maureen Grower is the lead researcher on the study, and she joins us on University Beat.
Hi there, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Professor Grower, to start with, you are looking at what's called the gut microbiome, and it's probably going to be best if you go ahead and define what that is for us.
Sure. So all of us have within our gut, or our colon, trillions and trillions of microorganisms that live there in a very happy relationship with our epithelial cells, with our immune system, with the other physiological systems. And we know that it provides us with certain vitamins and also produces certain chemicals that have effects at a distance from the gut. And this gut microbiome is established very early in life.
Now, this study that is looking at this is actually a continuation of an earlier study that you had done of 100 low birth weight premature babies shortly after they were born. And what did you look at then, and how are you going to advance that work now?
Our first study was looking at these very low birth weight babies, less than 1,500 grams at birth weight, and about 30 weeks gestation, 28 to 30 weeks gestation in general. And what we were looking at was the amount of human milk these babies got, mother's own milk, compared to preterm formula or donor milk that's used in the NICU to provide nourishment for these babies. We know that mother's own milk is the best, but many mothers have difficulty establishing enough lactation. They have to pump their milk. It's difficult. So these babies receive often a mix of mother's own milk, donor milk, and preterm formula. What we were looking at in that grant was health and outcomes of these infants from the NICU just over 6 weeks. It was a longitudinal study. And we measured a variety of proteins in the milk because we were interested not only in volume of milk, but the immunobiology of milk, the cytokines and the antibodies that are in milk. And one thing that we measured that sort of led to this next study is that every week we took a sample of their stool from their diaper and we brought it back to the lab and we stored it. We called these little samples poopsicles. And these poopsicles provided us with a look at inflammatory markers in the gut. And so we were looking at that in relationship to what kind of feeding they got and other things that were going on in their health in the NICU. At the same time that we were doing this study, a lot of new research was coming out that was kind of revolutionary research, exciting new discoveries about the relationship between the microorganisms in our gut and things like behavior, anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, autism, relationships between that gut microbiome and a variety of gut diseases like Crohn's disease, relationships between that gut microbiome and in the immune system, like allergy and autoimmune disease. So all of a sudden, this microbiome got to be the focus of a lot of new science because we had new tools. We had ways to sequence these organisms and discover new organisms that we could never culture before, but now we could see them at a very molecular level.
Let me just interrupt you for a moment. You say that that research was coming out. Was that looking at the relationship with those diseases and the biome in adults later on in development of life?
It was. Mostly it was done in adults. For example, we now know that obesity is associated with a very particular profile of the microbiome, of the certain phyla in the microbiome, more Firmicutes than Bacteroides, if to be specific here. So we could actually potentially even treat obesity with a probiotic mix that could change that phyla relationship. These are the kinds of revolutionary thoughts. We could perhaps treat Crohn's disease with fecal transplants, and in fact, that's being done right now. We could maybe even prevent allergy in children by modifying with probiotics or other treatments the mix of the microbiome, because everybody has a certain signature that you have by the age of 3 years of life, and you have that for life by 3 years. And the biggest factor that regulates that signature is food, and antibiotics.
So you could conceivably go all the way back to infancy and then possibly change the entire track of someone's health almost.
That's kind of the amazing and a little bit scary thing. For example, C-section babies are more likely to have an abnormal early microbiome. They're also more likely to have obesity later in life. So the way you're born makes a difference. Whether or not you get antibiotics before the age of 3 makes a difference. If you get breast milk versus formula, it makes a difference in long-term regulation of your gut microbiome.
And so what are you looking at in this study that's kind of furthering the work that you've done previously?
So we had this, you know, epiphany moment when we realized we had a freezer full of poopsicles. And there was all of this research in the gut microbiome, and I thought in the middle of the night, really, oh my goodness, we have the opportunity to study whether these preterm infants develop what's called dysbiosis, an abnormal gut microbiome. We're almost certain that they do, because every NICU has its own flavor of a microbiome. So babies get particular NICU-related microbiota, some of which have antibiotic-resistant genes in them. And preterm babies suffer a lot of interruptions in normal development, and they're traumatized by the experience. They're stressed. They're separated from their mother. They might not get very much mother's own milk. They have invasive procedures. They're hospitalized for weeks. All of these are factors that increase their risk for having dysbiosis, an abnormal microbiome. So we don't even know at this point, how long does it take a preterm baby to develop this, quote, signature microbiome? We know it happens by 2 or even 3 years of age in term infants. We don't know for preterm infants. And that was the epiphany. Wow, we could study that because we have all these samples saved, and we could follow these same babies, very well-characterized babies, at 2 and 4 years of age and look at their microbiome. And then, of course, the big question is, does it make a difference in their growth, in their health, in their development? Because we know these children have some risks for having delays in development, autism and attention deficit disorder and school problems. And maybe it's not just that they were preterm. Maybe it's because they have this dysbiotic gut. So that's our big question. Does that gut make a difference ultimately in their health in childhood?
You've managed to track down about 100 of these babies that you had the poopsicles from before, and we're close enough in the time period that you're able to look at 2 and 4. So I'm assuming they're still relatively young babies right now.
About 4 of our babies just turned 3. So we're working very hard to recruit everybody, of course, into the study. We don't anticipate that everybody will be in the study, but if we get 50 babies that we can follow at 2 and 4 years of age, that will be the largest study ever done of these preterm babies and their health and their microbiome. It's just not been looked at before.
Well, you'll certainly keep us up to date on what goes on with this study. It's about a 5-year term. USF College of Nursing Professor Maureen Grower, thanks again for sharing this information with us on University Beat.
Thank you so much for having me.